Snakes. Landmines. And grass fires. A podcast about real estate.
Good morning, everyone, or afternoon, wherever you are. So, once again, we have another podcast here at the Poodle Ranch, and I'm introducing my husband, Lester Langdon, broker extraordinaire.
And I'll introduce my famous wife and broker and the queen of the Poodle Ranch. How is everything on the Poodle Ranch?
Well, the dogs are very happy. They are. I'm at home all the time, and they're running like crazy in the backyard. They're very happy.
And so you have a new grand champion.
Yes, I do.
And they've called off all the dog shows for how long?
TBD. Could be a long time. So I got to show her at the last show, and I won, and there we go.
So how many poodles are there now at the Poodle Ranch?
There are 8 poodles at the Poodle Ranch.
Wow, a herd.
And some on the way.
Oh, no, I didn't know about that. Again? Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about how the COVID-19 virus affects the economy and real estate.
It hasn't not been fun so far. We're only a week into this, so.
Yeah, we're just hanging in. We're isolated.
I know. You and I have been staring at each other now for a week.
Oh, and it's always nice to do that. You're nice to stare at.
Thank you. Did the coronavirus change the market, or was it just the black swan? And what do you mean by black swan?
Well, so before the market goes down, nobody knows what's going to cause it to go down. They can assume and presume what's going to make it go down, but usually it's something that comes that nobody had expected. That's the black swan.
I see. What were the market characteristics before the black swan?
Everybody was happy. The stock market was up.
Yeah, we were happy.
Everybody was happy, and the real estate prices were good, and still may be.
So do you think the market would have pulled back just looking for any excuse?
The market was ready for a pullback anyway, and they just were looking for something to help them explain what made the market go down.
Now, when we're saying market at this point of our podcast, we're talking stock market.
At the moment.
But right. We're going to go into how that affects real estate and the real estate market.
And so how will owners of real estate and home buyers and sellers and real estate investors, how will they act? And what does that do to prices of both homes and investment real estate? Who are the winners and losers? First, yeah. let's identify the players first.
Okay, I know these. I know the answer to this one. We have buyers and sellers, lenders and appraisers, wholesalers or flippers, the appraisal districts and property tax consultants, and let me think, online service providers, including internet buyers.
And we'll explain those later.
We've already covered those in previous podcasts.
But not everybody has heard this specific podcast, so we'll go through it. We'll go through it briefly. So concerning buyers and sellers, the real estate market is a mirror of the stock market. The stock market of buyers and sellers is a mirror of the stock market, prices and chart graphs, but you cannot see it plotted on a chart. Real estate's too variegated with odd, irregular transactions, which makes it hard to plot it on a piece of paper or on a chart.
Okay, that makes sense. So give me an analogy.
Real estate investments are like shares in companies. There's good management and sometimes bad management with bankruptcies. Good management is proactive and creative, and bad management is a passive spectator. Some owners should sell to redeploy their assets into other investments which they can better manage. Some people should not own real estate. Some owners have a change of lifestyle and are ready to sell. Buyers of investment real estate are accepting and signing purchase contracts based on the promises and the hopes and expectations. That's been very much the case the last couple of years. Sellers sold by offering expectations and hope of future increasing revenues and profits. Offering descriptions through offering memorandums showing pro forma higher rents and good occupancy for 2 or 3 years in the future. Everything looks rosy. The broker of a seller can say that if you promise to be a good buyer with good management, this will be a good property for you to buy. And if you realize the forecast of future higher rents, and if you make the changes necessary to improve the property, you could also improve financial results. Everybody's going to be happy.
I hope so.
The future may show that buyers will require that they only purchase properties that have actual historical revenues and profits, and not just future hope and expectations. The big argument is capitalization rate, known as cap rate. And it is the reciprocal, the reverse, of the price-earnings ratio, which is most often referred to when we discuss the stock market and corporate share values. The percentage cap rate is the mathematical inverse of that. It's the reverse of the earnings multiple. You divide earnings of the property by the percentage cap rate to get the value of the property. Of course, sellers argue a low percentage cap rate, which of course is arguing for a higher multiple of earnings. The cap rate percentage variable rate is affected by interest rates of treasury notes and bonds and mortgages and bank loan rates. Of course, we can argue if the Federal Reserve creates interest rates or if it follows market rates, but that's a whole different conversation. Nevertheless, the arguments of rates and multiples will continue between buyers and sellers and between lender institutions. That's the market.
Okay, so the challenge may be that sellers have expectations also. Is that correct?
Exactly. If you want and hope for a sales price of your property or your home that's not realistic, that it may not be supported by a licensed appraiser. And you, the seller, have to come to a realization, sometimes several times. And this takes time, and some sellers take longer to deal with these emotional decisions. This is why homes sell in 1 week and other homes sell in 18 months. Sometimes sellers believe they're smarter than their agent or their broker, and some sellers have not owned the property long enough to build equity. These affect the market.
Mm-hmm.
The seller cannot afford to sell at a loss and cannot accept a foreclosure till they must. Sometimes the seller waits several years to sell with hopes that a good bull market will bail them out, waiting to help build equity as the monthly loan payoff amount decreases and for the equity to increase. Unfortunately, those sellers usually do not make much effort for good management. They do not have creative management projects which they could use to spend the nickel but make a dime. Some people might be better suited to be passive investors with partners that have better management skills.
What do you mean by passive investors? What type of properties would that be?
If you're an investor in a big, big project and you're a limited partner and there are other partners that make the decisions.
I see. Thank you. Well, tell me about lenders and appraisers. How is the COVID virus going to affect them, do you think?
It might affect them slightly if there's less speculation to buy properties and if there are fewer hot deals. They're always going to be in the loop. And then there's wholesalers and flippers.
Okay. They probably are kind of struggling right now, do you think?
Well, it's only been a week.
I know.
But I suspect that there are thousands of flippers in Houston and many, many thousands in Texas looking for a good deal. And they've pushed up home prices in the past several years by competing for homes for sale, which are advertised as bankruptcy sales. And there's been a lot of competition to buy those bankruptcies. Thus, not such a good deal as may have been advertised. The owners, which are the lenders of bankruptcy sales, have become more sophisticated marketing to thousands of flippers and remodelers. A buddy of mine has stopped flipping houses because of margins that are too small. The price that he buys them for and the price that he has to sell them for after he remodels is too small for him to make a profit.
So what is he doing now?
He helps people remodel their home for a fee.
So he's become a remodeling contractor. He's found a new niche because of this. Okay.
For several years, a lot of these flippers have been going to seminars sponsored by private hard money lenders wanting to lend money at high rates. I recently helped a friend buy a remodeled home for about $420,000 from a flipper that lived in California, but that bought the house flooded in Houston to mm-hmm. remodel and resell and mm-hmm. flip. The home had flooded for the first time and had been stripped down to the studs. And I spoke with a remodel contractor here in Houston and learned how much the California flipper had spent. And I figured the materials and the labor and the bank lender expenses and the brokerage fees, the flipper lost about $50,000.
Ouch. Well, let's cover wholesalers. I'm not sure why they're called wholesalers. Can you explain that? They don't sell for wholesale, right?
Yeah, well, they sell for retail. They've been very active in the last year or two. On Saturday morning, I saw Superman. He was the actor Dean Cain, as the spokesperson to get me to attend a seminar about how to get rich by wholesaling real estate without a large investment. Sounds really good.
How to buy a unicorn. Okay.
Wholesalers often sign a contract to buy a property at a price very attractive to a seller. In my opinion, the wholesalers are looking hard for deals and are not actually buying at wholesale. Often the seller is surprised to get that high a price. The wholesaler is wanting to put a property under contract with a long option feasibility period. The wholesaler thinks it's a good low price and thinks that he can find a greater fool, a bag holder. Then the wholesaler assigns the contract to a buyer at a higher price, a new buyer at a higher price, and takes a slice of profits at closing when the new buyer performs to close on the assigned contract. Frequently on an assigned contract to a new buyer, the upfront money goes hard and is not refundable to the new buyer. For any reason, the upfront hard earnest money goes to the wholesaler, even if the new buyer does not close the deal on the assigned contract to buy the property. And this may be for several reasons. Now it may be more difficult to get buyers to be the greater fool after we've had the COVID virus and the decline in the stock market. On my website, I have a complete podcast about wholesalers. And, of course, we also have another character or entity in the market, and that is appraisal districts and property tax consultants and registered arbitrators. You know some of those people.
Yes, I know that you're licensed in Texas as a senior property tax consultant, and I've had that license since 1990.
I was 10 years old.
No, that was since I was 10 years old. So tell us about that.
So I became a tax consultant in 1990 and then became a senior property tax consultant. I also became registered as a Texas arbitrator to hear arguments of both owners, which are the taxpayers, and also the representative appraiser of the appraisal district. In Texas, registered arbitrators are God. Their decisions cannot be changed. It is that value. Last year, the state of Texas changed the law to say that I cannot be both a property tax consultant and also a registered arbitrator, so I dropped my registration.
You dropped the registration of the arbitrator?
Correct. I can't be both. I chose to be the property tax consultant only.
Of course.
My father was vice chairman of the appraisal review board that listens to the concerns of owners and their hired property tax consultants, and then they argue to reduce the taxable value at the appraisal district. In the year 1980, when the price of oil dropped from $40 to $10, he jumped on the other side of the table to become a tax consultant and get paid a percentage of the taxes saved by his client property owners. This year, the price of oil has dropped from $65 to $27 per barrel.
Thanks to the Saudis and the Russians acting like toddlers having an argument over their oil.
Well, that's only part of it. The other part is that the United States and the oil companies have become much more efficient at producing oil. So now there's more oil out there.
Well, also there's speculation that due to the COVID virus that gasoline and fuel used for businesses will be dropping
Of less demand.
Exactly.
So there are numerous variables that have caused the price of oil to decline. And I thought I would relate that back to what happened in 1980 when the price of oil declined from 40 to 10. It's now dropped from 65 down to 27. Maybe buyers who bought commercial investment real estate will not be good managers, not be able to get the advertised pro forma rents, which were advertised when they bought it recently. Maybe some tax consultants can get the appraisal district to reduce the taxable value. However, last year, many investment properties were valued at only 50 or 70% of the sales price. So it kind of depends on the property. Only about 7 states are non-disclosure states, and that means that the buyer of the property does not have to tell the state, does not have to tell the government what they paid for it. However, the appraisal district can go to the courthouse to discover the amount of the loan, and then they can guess at the sales price. If the property was listed on the multiple listing service, the actual price is known to the appraisal district because they are subscribers to the multiple listing service. On commercial properties, the appraisal district buys the sales prices from the internet companies called LoopNet and CoStar. If the seller's broker tells LoopNet the final sales price, before you buy a property, talk to me about how to prevent this mistake and how to save money in future years on property taxes if you buy a property.
And one last person that's affected, or a segment that's affected by the COVID virus, are the internet iBuyers.
Yeah, they buy your home with very little due diligence. They do online desktop appraisals. They do not hire a licensed building inspector and may close the deal in only about 10 days. Price may not be your highest possible price, but they do offer convenience if you want to get it sold quick. Maybe you've seen their ads on TV for companies like OfferPad.com. Maybe you've heard of Zillow. They also have a company called Zillow Offer, which may buy your home. They expect a small profit, maybe only 3%, but they turn their money over about 12 times a year. They have billions and billions of dollars, lines of credit at big banks, and they're very heavily leveraged at the banks. So if prices stop going up, or even if prices only drop 2%, they can lose billions of dollars due to their heavy debt leverage.
So I've noticed that currently, during the coronavirus, their stocks dropped significantly.
Yeah, Zillow dropped 65% in a period of 1 month. Coincidentally, I help some multifamily investors to lease their apartment units, and I only charge $100 as the fee. The multiple listing service data propagates to Zillow, and half of the inquiries that I get from prospective tenants are bogus. As a senior property tax consultant and as a registered arbitrator and a licensed broker of commercial and residential properties for 26 years, maybe I don't know everything.
And every day changes.
And every day I see something new and different. My most difficult challenge and my greatest pleasure is helping real estate owners.
And you can help them navigate this very tough market right now. So if you're interested, please call Lester Langdon, 281-236-8189, or Houstonias.com.
That's HoustonIUS.com.
Thank you.
It's such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.